I declare the meeting open at 5:30. I welcome councillors and management and members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. I request that all mobile phones be turned off for the duration of the meeting. We respectfully acknowledge our meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place for the Kulin Nation. Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Should you have any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the council business team after the meeting. The agenda comprises 2 reports from committee, 15 reports from management, 9 of which are confidential, and 1 item of general business. An apology has been received from our Lord Mayor, Robert Doyle. If there any council has either direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act in 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by the council, please disclose the type and nature of your interest prior to the commencement of the item. Confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. I call on the council to move a resolution adopting the open meeting of council meeting number 17 held on March 25. I call for a councillor to second that motion, Councillor Oak and Councillor Foster. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. Councillor Foster, Councillor Watts, passed unanimously. This is carried. Matters arising from the minutes of the previous meeting, are there any matters arising from the minutes of the previous open meeting? Right. Correspondence and submission. No items of correspondence have been received in accordance with the Council Conduct of Meetings Local Law 2010. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda items 6.7.1, 6.7.2 and 6.8.1? No. Reports from committee. There are 2 reports from the committee for consideration in the open session. I call on Councillor Long, as Chair of the Planning Portfolio of the Future Melbourne Committee, to present Agenda Item 5.1 Planning Scheme Amendment C196 City North.
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. The purpose of this report is to seek adoption of the final version of Amendment C196 based on the recommendations of the panel that appointed by the Minister for Planning. I'll move the recommendation contained in the report. I call on the councillor to second the motion.
I call on the councillor to second the motion. Oh, I have that right, councillor.
My apologies, Acting Lord Mayor.
That's all right. Would the mover like to, would the mover like to speak to the motion?
Seconder.
We're having a seconder. Yeah. Councillor Main. Councillor Ong, would you like to speak to the motion?
Just a few quick words. This particular process on the City North Planning Scheme Amendment started back in 2001, about the same time when the MSS was being finalised. And Council itself adopted this to go to consultation and panel back in February 2012. So it's been about just over 2 years now, so we've come to the conclusion of this process, and I'd just like to acknowledge the work of fellow councillors of the previous council who started this, and also the councillors of the current council, as well as the officers and the strategic planning officers in particular. I wouldn't like to go too much more into it. Yeah, we've had extensive discussions on the issues that were raised, and I commend these recommendations and this planning scheme amendment.
Would the seconder like to speak to the motion, Councillor Main?
No.
Are there any other speakers for the motion? Are there any speakers against the motion? Yeah, sorry, Councillor Leppard, you're hard to see in the corner there. Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. As Councillor Ong has stated, the real debate on this issue was at the 1st of April Future Melbourne Committee meeting, which recommended this proposal to us, but as I'm objecting to the motion before us, I thought I'd summarise extremely quickly the reasons for that and refer the listeners and anyone in the gallery to the debate on the 1st of April, which was quite long and detailed. Earlier versions of City North, the version that went out for public exhibition, resulted in a lot of community feedback, and the community feedback was taken into account by the council and by the officers, and the final version before panel that that the Future Melbourne Committee recommended that the panel have a look at included mandatory height limits, included setbacks along laneways, and it reinstated the right to know if there's a development proposed next to your property inside those areas of Carlton and North Melbourne proposed to be rezoned to capital city zone, and the right to object. What came back from panel and what the officers recommended to the Future Melbourne Committee on the 1st of April was to go with the panel's recommendations to change all of those mandatory height limits to discretionary, to remove the requirement for setbacks along laneways, and to remove the ability for property owners in the capital city zone area to know if there is a development application proposed for next door, or to have the right to appeal it. And of course, if you don't know about it, then your objection process is sort of, you know, sidelined. You can still object, but you can't object if you don't know about it. So what we've ended up with is something that's fundamentally different to what council's previously stated preferred position is on this. There's still a lot of good stuff in there, and I support the intention for high density development in the area with the co-location of multiple a broad range of uses. However, what we've ended up with is other three things that the community was really railing against and which council has decided to stick to. And so on that basis, I can't support this planning scheme amendment and will be voting against it.
Thank you, Councillor. Are there any other speakers against the motion? Councillor Watts.
I too speak against the motion. I wasn't present for the debate on the 1st of April, but having had experience with this and having listened to the community, it seems to me that I personally can't put my name to this flawed document for all of the reasons my colleague, Councillor Leppard, has outlined.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers for the motion or against the motion? If that is the case, would the mover like the right of reply?
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. I note the comments from some of my fellow councillors who have raised concerns with it. I think rather than go into the debate of it, all I can say is this, that we had a debate, and yes, the panel's recommendations overturned some of what we put forward to the panel after some of the consultation processes out there, which was actually also changed from the time when we first started this, when it first came out as a result of the MSS work. And one of the key concerns is, I guess, the inability to provide third-party notice and objections, which is a result of turning this area into Capital City Zone 5. Now, council, of course, has the discretion to allow, make aware to neighbouring properties whenever we have developments, even though it's not a mandatory or a legislated requirement in this instance. The other key point that is that if we were to just say no to this, where, as acknowledged by some others, many of the good parts of what we wanted to achieve out of the MSS and the City North Structure Plan are included in this. And on balance, it takes in a lot of the things that we wanted to do to bring this part of the city into a renewal process, into increasing some density while protecting the other surrounding areas, rather than to not have any such proper controls and structure plan in place, resulting in probably every single development coming along taking extensive time. And if we were to ignore the panel's recommendations and put in what we originally did, it is a likelihood that we would not get this approved, and Amendment C196 will be abandoned, which means that we go back to square one. So I think, on balance, I think the positives do outweigh the negatives.
Thank you, Councillor. I'll now call on the councillors to take a vote. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands. Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, Councillor Main, Councillor Wood, Councillor Ong, it's so dark up here, Councillor Louis, those, and myself, Councillor Riley. All those against the motion, raise your hands. Councillor Foster, Councillor Watts, it's all right. I'm trying to scan Councillor Oak and Councillor Leppard. And the motion is carried. I call on Council Main as Chair of the Finance and Governance Portfolio of the Future Melbourne Committee to present the agenda item 5.2, Council Meeting Procedures Code, proposed amendments relating to submissions.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor, or Acting Lord Mayor. 5.2 is the Council's Meeting Procedures Code, the proposed amendment relating to submissions. And I move the recommendation contained in the Council report.
I call on a councillor to second that motion. Councillor Leppard, would the mover like to speak to the motion?
Just briefly, we have covered this previously in Future Melbourne Committee. The audio is riveting if anyone's interested in listening to it. This is a minor tweaking to our meeting procedures, the most notable element being that we won't accept submissions from tenderers. So now that we are, our default position is to determine council contracts or tenders, ideally in open session. We don't want to be receiving submissions to councillors, lobbying, if you like, on a tender decision now being done in public. So there's some other minor changes about submissions, but that's the most important one, and the audio is excellent from the previous meeting.
Thank you. Councillor Leppard, would you like to speak? There's no other speakers. I'll put that to the vote. Beg your pardon?
Those in favour.
Those in favour, please raise your hands. Thank you. I'll start again. Councillor Foster, Councillor Watts, is unanimous. Thank you. That concludes the reports from the committee to be considered in open session. There are six reports from management for consideration in the open session. 6.1, record of assemblies for councillors, with Councillor Local presentation on this agenda item. Thank you. Is there a seconder to that? You both put your hands up at once. Councillor Wood. Would the mover like to speak to the motion? No. Would the seconder like to speak to the motion? Are there any speakers to the motion? No. I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hands. And that was carried unanimously. The second one is 6.2, Active Melbourne Recreation Facility Management and Operation Services, contract number 3475. Would Councillor like a presentation on this matter? No. I call on the Councillor to move the motion. Councillor Foster and Councillor Main has seconded. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Foster? Councillor Main, would you like to speak to it as seconder?
Yes, Acting Lord Mayor, just briefly. This is an unusual contract, a group deal, if you like, where six of our existing facilities, the Kensington Community Rec Centre, Carlton Baths, North Melbourne Community Centre, Riverside Skate Park, Holland Park Skate Park, and two new facilities, being our outdoor sports courts at Docklands and Flagstaff Gardens, have all been put into the one external management contract tender. Now, the winning tenderer is the incumbent, the YMCA, which is picking up the existing six plus the new two. So this is an eight-site outsourcing contract worth $7.66 million over 5 years. It's good to see that it's come in the first year at $1.446 million, which is about $100,000 below the proposed budget. Although we do note, and in the interest of transparency, that there were two tenderers, and on the single criteria of price, the alternative tenderer was actually, I think, $1.4 million below over the 5 years. But obviously we have a rating criteria that takes in non-financial matters, and we've had a very high rating on some of the non-financial criteria for the incumbent, the YMCA. And I think the report reads well. It's well-reasoned. It's excellent that we make these decisions in public, and support the officer report, and thank all those who participated in the tender process.
Thank you, Councillor. Are there any other speakers to the motion? I will now put the motion to the vote. All of those in favour, raise your hands. And that has been carried unanimously. The next item is 6.3, Neil Street Reserve Public Space Improvement Contract 8503A. Would councillors like a presentation? I call on the councillor to move the motion. Councillor Wood and Councillor Watts to second the motion. Councillor Woods, would you like to speak to the motion?
In the interests of the most transparent council in Australia, good to see that we're considering this in open session. Proven tenderer has been chosen with this project too, with the Swanston Street and Fitzroy Gardens Depot having been previous projects which they've undertaken. It's not a cheap project in the order of $4.5 million, but it's a project which will deliver great value to the community. And social responsibility, given a 5% weighting, so possible employment opportunities for locals, which will only enhance the sense of ownership for the facility. And I think when you look at the sense of ownership, that it can actually drive down rates of vandalism and graffiti. So I think that's a really great result for this tender. And I also think that the Neil Street project will be an excellent addition to that area. So I fully commend this motion.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Watts?
I too commend this motion. My sense is that this is an area of in our municipality which has had quite a degraded parkland against, right up against some of the most disadvantaged members of our community housing. It can only enhance their lives and the lives of the surrounding residents. I'm also keen to register my interest and I hope interest in my council in employing local people in perhaps delivering this marvellous project for that area.
Thank you, Councillor. Are there any other speakers to the motion?
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. I'd just like to also just make the mention that the City of Melbourne has been working on a number of community infrastructure projects over the last 5.5 years. And this is another example of spending the money wisely and targeted in areas that need it, because this is coming out of the open space contribution. And as we move forward and the demands of an increasing dense city means that we need to continue to build these facilities into the future, and which in the coming months we'll be working pretty hard to convince industry that they need to contribute more towards our funding for building community facilities and also building open space. So I look forward to the completion of this project. With the track record that our major projects teams have in the City of Melbourne, I'm quite confident it will be delivered on time and on budget.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there any other speaker for the motion? Any speaker against the motion? I will now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. And that is a unanimous vote. Thank you. 6.4 is the Indigenous Heritage Action Plan, Work Priority 2014-15. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? I call on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Oak, and seconded by Councillor Watts. Would Councillor Oak like to speak to it?
I would, just to say thank you for the report to Ian Hicks and his team. It shows what the next year's priorities will be for the Indigenous Heritage Action Plan. It's an important strategy that the Council has endorsed in previous meetings, and it's great to see the projects that will be rolled out in the next financial year. In particular, of interest to me, when calling for this report as part of the Tanaminaway Mulbohina resolution in December last year, was to showcase, I guess, to those that were interested in the TNM story, the other projects that we're doing at Council around recognising and acknowledging and celebrating Indigenous stories in Melbourne. That whilst there's been a lot of focus on the memorial of Tanaminaway and Mulbohina, that the Council is doing a lot within our, not only within the Indigenous Heritage Action Plan, but across other portfolios and other areas, and it was, I guess, that one of the reasons why I wanted to put this forward, but also for us to endorse money in the upcoming budget for the projects that the team wanted to implement. And importantly, one of those projects is the development of the GIS mapping tools of other stories around the city. And I think exciting, linked to our knowledge portfolio and our smart city strategy is around the potential social enterprise that could come could take advantage of this GIS information and the mapping information around the Indigenous stories in Melbourne and potential development of a smart app. So it's a great, actually, Councillor Watts, who's second the resolution and who's on the working group for the action plan, covers both of your portfolios in, and the knowledge as well as people. So anyway, it's appropriate probably that you when you speak second, but yeah, I move the recommendation and thank Ian and the team for putting it forward.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Waite, Watts, would you like to speak to it?
Just very briefly to say that I too am pleased that we have the plan and it outlining the work priorities. It's really evidence that we are walking the talk, and that's an important step.
Any other speaker to the motion?
Yes, Acting Lord Mayor. I'd like to take this opportunity to actually acknowledge both Councillor Oak and previous Councillor Cannis, who actually started a lot of this work right back in 2010 and 11, which have allowed the City of Melbourne to focus a bit more on our Indigenous heritage, and also both through the Reconciliation Action Plan back then and the introduction and the growth of the Indigenous Arts Festival, and now with this Indigenous Heritage Action Plan. I think it's all part of a process that shows that the City of Melbourne is working in hard and in a leadership position to acknowledge the history of where the city came from. And I think that's very important. And I'd just like to also commend officers for all the work that they've started on, and there's a lot more to be done.
Thank you, Councillor Long. Is there any other speakers to the motion? If that is the case, I'd like to put the motion to the vote. Please raise your hands. And that vote has been carried unanimously. 6.5 is a proposal. for recognition of the Tana Minawait and Mulboy Hina, and I apologise if I haven't said that correctly. Would councillors like a presentation on that item? A question, Councillor Leppard?
Thank you, Chair. There's a figure inside the report at page 10 referring to $2,000 artist fee, but I'm reading that as a fee for the shortlisted artist. Can I just have it confirmed, Ian, that the full fee for the artist would form part of the proposal that comes back to council after the recommendation has been drafted. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct, Councillor Leppard.
I now call on the council to move the motion. Councillor Oak?
A quick follow-up question, and just because I asked this earlier today, and now that that response has been given about this artist fee, I just... the intention is that there could be multiple artists on the shortlist and that they would all travel to Tasmania to where Tana Minawait and Mulboy Hina are from, but there could be multiple artists that are part of that that trip. So it's not just one $2,000 fee, it could be multiple.
Through you, Acting Lord Mayor. Yes, Councillor Oak, there's a protocol established around the commissioning of artists, and Aboriginal artists in particular, and part of that is to ensure that there's appropriate reimbursement through not only the work itself, but the process also, which is what you're
referring to. Sorry, no, the question wasn't about the amount. That's absolutely fine. No. Just is it multiple, would potentially be multiple artists?
There potentially could be, depending on how far through the process each artist was to get. Yep.
Any further questions? I now call on the councillor to move the motion. Councillor Oak, second by Councillor Watts. Councillor Oak, would you like to speak to it?
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. I acknowledge that there are many people in the audience who have been a part of the process for recognising the story of Tanaminua and Mobohina, and they were here in December when we as a council unanimously endorsed not only the research report by Dr Claire Land, but also the request for a process to determine what that memorial might be. And this is the next step in that process, and it's an important one. And I would like to thank Ian Hicks again and Jeanette and everyone involved in determining the process as we move forward. And the report clearly outlines the way that it will be done, not only appropriate to the local Indigenous communities, but also the communities in Tasmania where these men and the group that they were with are from. So it's culturally important, but also the working group that will be involved in selecting the recommended artist work that will be put forward to council. The working group also comprises RMIT, where the site that we're endorsing as part of this report is nearby. Also the National Trust with the Melbourne Jail, as well as representatives of the Tanaminua Mobohina Commemoration Committee. So it's a very important group. It's a difficult task, I'm sure, that they will have when the proposals come forward to select how this memorial will be designed and implemented, because it is a complex story. It's a complicated story, and how that is represented in art and artistic form will be... I'm not an artist. I have no idea how it's going to be shown, but I know at the Melbourne Conversation not that long ago, where we held a conversation about memorials and about this story, there was a wide-ranging conversation about exactly what this could be, and that was my first taste. I know this conversation has been going for a while, and it is detailed in the reports that we endorsed in December, but that conversation that night really did open my eyes as to the scope that the artist might come back with when we see it, and I'm really excited about the process, and I'm really glad that I'm not part of it. I'm really glad that Grandin will be part of the final part, but I'm really glad that it is at arm's length of councillors, no offence, but I believe that it is the appropriate way of doing it. And again, I thank the team for putting it forward, and I'd like to thank the interested people, especially the Tanaminua Mobohina Committee, Memorial Committee, for their interest and the journey that they've been on with me over the last many years to get it to this stage. I move the recommendation.
Councillor Watts, would you like to speak to the motion? Any other speakers for this motion? Councillor Leppard?
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. And without duplicating anything that the mover has said, I too do want to acknowledge the very good conversation that the City of Melbourne produced, the Melbourne Conversations conversation down at the edge a few weeks ago now. The breadth of that conversation is quite remarkable, and until you are there with so many people in the one room, it's hard to get the full perspective over all of the issues at play here. Yes, you can read the brilliant report that was produced by the committee and written by Claire, but it was also another good dimension to get a full perspective over some of these stories, which I'm eager to fully understand, but acknowledge that I'm not in a position to naturally understand it. But it's been a great journey for me to go on, even just as a new councillor. I've only been involved in this for a very short period of time. But I do thank councillors previously for getting it to this point, and for officers for bringing it to us. I think this is the point now, if this passes tonight, which it looks like it will, that we've got quite a high level of certainty that we're looking at finally getting some sort of commemoration, however you look at that, in the coming couple of years at the most, I would have thought. This report gets the balance right between, going out to the artistic community with a blue sky asking for ideas and coming up with something that's quite regulated. I think we've got a nice balance here. We can't just ask for anything. We've got a whole lot of research that we've already done, and we need to make sure that the principles and the themes that have come up through the consultation to date are represented in the final thing that's going to be proposed to us, but also that the principles that are proposed here for the memorial I think are good ones, and that we're striking the right balance here between that blue sky thinking and something that council needs to provide a bit of a framework around. So I thank the officers for that very sensitive piece of work and arriving at the position that they've arrived at. I think it's quite a good one. So we're very close now to finally acknowledging this story in a very formal and permanent way, and I'm very happy that we're on the cusp of doing that. It's such an important story so that we understand the history of this city.
Thank you, Councillor Lippert. Is there any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Mayne.
Yeah, look, just briefly, I'd like to thank particularly Councillor Oak and the officers, Ian Hicks. I think this is a very important process. I agree about understanding the history of a complex story. And I think it's good that the City of Melbourne can have a mature discussion and examination of these issues and not respond to, you know, 3RW shock jocks with their attempts to criticise processes such as this. So well done to all involved for a balanced, sensible and important progression of this important piece of Melbourne's history. And I hope we can continue to push forward with this to its conclusion when the marker is launched. And if we hear from any more shock jocks with their barbs, that we stand up to it and put them in their place, because they're not constructive contributions if you're trying to sensitively look at the true history of Melbourne.
Thank you. Is there any other speakers? Yes, Councillor Wood.
I can't resist that. Councillor Mayne has paved the way for me here, because I won't speak on anything to do with the motion as such, but a slight sort of addendum to what Councillor Mayne has said, because Councillor Oak's work on this, and also indeed officers and the committee, has been extensive. But I've looked up at the gallery there and I do not see Neil Mitchell here, so his voice is well and truly something we can overlook in this debate.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there any Councillor against this motion? If that is the case, I'd like you to raise your hands and vote for this motion, and that is unanimously voted on. The next item is... Thank you. The next item is 6.6, Statement of Intent with City Power. I don't think you'll get a clap for this one, Councillor. Would the Councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? I call on a Councillor to move the motion, Councillor Wood. I call on a Councillor to second the motion, Councillor Oak. Councillor Wood, would you like to speak to the motion?
I would, Acting Lord Mayor. I hope for a small clap on this one anyway. It's an important issue. I feel like we're at our second or third date now with City Power. The first date was quite interesting, but certainly the new CEO, Tim Rourke, is a breath of fresh air, and I think it's a complex organisation dealing with a whole breadth of issues, just as the City of Melbourne does, and I think the conversations that we've entered into, and indeed Jeff Lawler and his team have continued, are delivering some really positive results already. So this statement of intent, you know, it goes across zero net emissions, which is a big strategy for us, but it even touches into, you know, things like the public lighting strategy, which we endorsed last year. It'll look at, you know, things like the smart grid, renewable energy, which again is something that's, you know, key to many of the actions that we've signed off on, smart energy precincts, which has been a complex one again for us to get moving, and I think there's been some frustration there in trying to get that to occur. But one of the key partners that we need in that sort of debate is the people who control the poles and the wires, for want of a better term. But things like substations and all sorts of facilities and means to deliver what we want to deliver are key with this City Power move. So I just want to congratulate Jeff Lawler in the way that he's carried this through, and I've got a bit of excitement about this statement of intent and where it could take us in the future partnership with City Power. And I also want to put on the record big thanks to Tim Rourke too for his willingness and openness to continue down this route with us.
Wonderful. a little clap. Councillor Oak, would you like to speak?
Oh, thanks, Acting Lord Mayor. I think this does actually deserve a clap, and not to be you know, not to play on that too much, but it is actually really quite significant, this statement of intent, and I'd like to acknowledge not only Jeff Lawler and Krista Milne for their work on this, but obviously Councillor Wood for his work in getting this agreement or this statement of intent to the stage that it's at. And all of the projects that Councillor Wood mentioned are incredibly important for us achieving the zero net emissions strategy, but City Power have always been identified as a key partner in that, and getting to this agreement is incredibly positive and one that we've been working on for a while, but obviously Councillor Wood, your efforts have seen it get over the line in more ways than one, so acknowledge yourself and the team, and this is great recommendation.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Wong.
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. I think Councillor Wood and Jeff Lawler and the team deserve a really big clap, because I think this is an area which, since coming to Council 5.5 years ago, we have been trying to get some headway. I think one of the key things is that the statement of intent with City Power is very important, because as you can see in the report, we use 3,800 gigawatt hours in the City of Melbourne. If you multiply that by how much per kilowatt hour, I mean, that's a hell of a lot of money that the city spends, and spends it on lighting around the city, which is using a lot of old technology, which is not helping us in terms of moving forward towards our zero net emission. So this gives us the opportunities moving forward to get better lighting outcomes, better technology, less emissions, and overall, I think, probably better management of the network within the city. And this would be definitely a great outcome moving forward. Well
done.
Thank
you. Are there any speakers against the motion? Any further speakers to the motion? I'd now like to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands, and that has been carried unanimously. The next item is general business, and it's 7.1, a notice of motion, Councillor Mayne, funding the Queen Victoria Market Renewal Project. I call on Councillor Mayne to move the motion.
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. I'd like to move the slightly amended motion appearing on the screen.
I call on a councillor to second that motion. Councillor Wood. Councillor Mayne.
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. I'll briefly go through the amendments as opposed to what has appeared in the notice of meeting. We've removed the old point two, which had a reference to the circa $5 million of total earnings that we receive each year from QVM. We've removed the idea that the 2014-15 earnings that we receive go into the proposed fund. We've also changed the starting date from the 1st of July 2014 to simply the first quarter of 2014-15. We'll give officers a little bit more time to establish the fund. And the first contribution to that will be of the 2013-14 underlying surplus that will be generated. So I guess more broadly, the purpose of the fund, I guess we've made a number of media and press statements about the biggest project in the City of Melbourne's history and spending up to $250 million on it. And when you talk about spending up to $250 million when your annual capital works budget is about $100 million, you realise how big an undertaking this will be. Now, hopefully we will deliver the project without reaching that absolute upper limit of $250 million, and this motion is designed to kick along the first steps, or you know, some initial steps in terms of showing our determination to actually get the project financed. So we establish a fund. We've released the plans recently in the last couple of weeks, which show that the funding of the project will partly come from the sale of two development sites on the southern boundary. So in point three, we are proposing to sell off a small proportion of I think what is an 18-acre site, Any proceeds we get from that, and it's likely to be in the tens of millions, but any proceeds we get from that will be deposited into the fund and reinvested in the Queen Victoria market. Point four, we're also looking at any asset sales or land sales of redundant land, so little easements or strips that pop up from time to time. If there are any of those going forward, commencing next financial year, they will also be deposited. And it's important to note that we don't have a large budgeted number for those sales. So we don't have a policy to pursue those sales, but on average, over the last few years, we've had a little over $1 million a year on average from those little strips and those little redundant pieces of land that are occasionally sold off. And I think importantly as well, the other major change is in point five, where we initially were talking about authorising the officers to look at participating in the forthcoming Municipal Association of Victoria inaugural council bond. And there's a proposal to issue hopefully a $150 million bond where well over 10 of Victoria's 79 councils will contribute to that to get that up to a critical mass, and we will have an example of good aggregated procurement by the sector where you get cheaper debt if you all go together. So we don't need to borrow any money now, but when we get into the heavy lifting of this project, we may well need to go to the bond market. So the idea is that our officers will prepare a report to come back to us before June 30 to look at whether we should participate in that first bond later this calendar year for as little as $1 million or up to $10 million. And if the economics work, then we may actually do that to help seed this fund. And also point six is the CEO writing to the state government about the congestion tax. Now, this hasn't really been acknowledged as to how big a hit this is on the QVM, but it's going to be close to $1 million in tax from this congestion tax that QVM will be paying the state government from the beginning of next year. That's about 20% of their profit. So the $5 million a year we've been making, all of a sudden $1 million of that will go to the car park tax, if you like, the so-called congestion levy. And we won't be given any of that, so we won't get any share of that to come into sustainable transport investment, as has occurred with other parts of the municipality where the tax has been applied on private car parks. So we're basically saying that if the government's going to slug us $1 million a year, we'd like them to reinvest the first 5 years of that into our fund, acknowledging how big a job this is and helping us get the project done. And finally, point seven, which has been a good suggestion from Councillor Leppett, is that we also note that we'll be hearing back from the officers in November this year, following a vote at the Future Melbourne Committee in February this year, outlining a more comprehensive program and plan in terms of how we get the funding. So this to deliver the overall project. So this starts the process of putting some money aside. It won't put nearly enough aside, so we'll have to make some substantial allocations from our capital works budget for a number of years to actually deliver the project, and there may well be some debt as well. But this motion tonight sort of provides some council grunt supporting the media statements that we've been making about delivering the biggest project in the history of the City of Melbourne.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Wood, would you like to speak to it?
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. I think the intent of this the initial motion was good, but I think Councillor Mayne's very eager to get stuck into this when it is a long-term project, and he's acknowledged that in the chat that we've all had. And I think that this motion, as it's put now, is a good one. I think that, you know, we're talking in a project that's in the order of sort of three or four times the capital projects, the size of a single capital project that we've implemented previously as a council. So I do agree with Councillor Mayne that, a dollar today is certainly worth more than a dollar tomorrow. So starting this process now is a good one. I think that some good moves on this motion were to sort of avoid the impacts on our current budgetary process, which is an involved and rigorous process in itself, and that this motion now takes us away from impacting potentially on other capital works. I think the other thing too is that point seven does rightly state that we are seeking management and officers to come back to us with a suggested way forward in terms of actually how we fund this. But Councillor Main's motion does start to show that we're very serious about this project. I don't think that was ever doubted. Certainly the Lord Mayor, this has been a project that he's wanted to see through for a very long time, as have many officers. But I think this is a good step in the right direction, particularly with establishing the fund to show that we're serious about funding what's going to be an excellent renewal project, not just for the city, but indeed for North Melbourne, and I know that many retailers around the North Melbourne area are crying out for this project to really inject even more life into what is an excellent precinct.
Thank you. Is there any other speaker to the motion? Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. I will support this motion. Just picking up on what the mover has said, this motion puts some council grunt behind media statements. Well, I think that's probably a good place to start and explains why I'm quite nervous about at least the original notice of motion, which I certainly couldn't have supported. Media statements are one thing, but they follow a decision of council in February to decide what the governance framework for the QVM renewal project would be and what the timeline associated with that would be. So yes, whilst there have been media comments in recent weeks, it doesn't necessarily follow that we have to follow that up with a quite rushed statement of policy intent. And so I think what we've got before us today is something that we can all probably agree with. I don't want to put words in other councillors' mouth, but I'm assuming that this is going to be unanimously supported, and it has been a bit more of a consensus-driven debate. What we started with is something that is quite rushed. So we're no longer looking at a fund being established by the 1st of July, which is a good thing because that would not have been manageable. But I think we can all agree that there were some very good ideas put forward in the notice, and the establishment of a fund which can have built around it this idea that we need to fill it. You know, this is a good story to tell if you're wanting to raise funds for the project. I'm sure we can all agree with that, and some of the mechanisms proposed to do that I actually agree with. I just don't think we can all do it in too fast a timeline. So in February we did agree to the governance framework, which is that the QVM Renewal Project Steering Group would propose the budget and the funding plan through the QVM Project Renewal Advisory Committee to Council, and the QVM Project Advisory Committee would consider that and then recommend it to Council, and then that the timeline that we endorsed said that that would come back to us in November 2014. And so we're circumventing that slightly, which is why I'm grateful to Councillor Main for including my suggestion of Part 7 here. I hope that the readers of the minutes and the listeners of the debate are aware that this isn't an intention to abandon the governance process that we set up not 2 months ago, but it is a way to put some grunt, I think, is the word that's used, and I'm very happy to support that, behind this idea that if we are going to do this project, which the council is committed to, then we need to show that we're serious and to start that process right now. So with those nervousnesses aside, I think I can support the motion that's before us. But the highest risk of this whole project going wrong, I think, is all to do with the consultation aspects. And we've only just started phase two, and there are going to be three phases of the QVM renewal project community consultation. It's a strange time to be putting something like this up when stage two of the consultation has only just begun, and we haven't got anywhere near to determining what the scope of the project would be. And the motion talks about things like selling off development sites on the southern boundary of the market. Yes, that's the idea that's been put out for consultation in phase two, but that is not necessarily what the detail of phase three is going to be, or what the final proposal put to council in phase three is going to be. So I get nervous, and certainly councillors have had correspondence on this issue. I am nervous that this gives the impression that the consultation process is less than robust because we're all sort of working in one particular direction anyway. So I want to, I'm not doing this to slap down the mirror or anything, but I just want to make sure that the listeners to the debate and the readers of the minutes are aware that there's a bigger governance project, a governance process in place here, and that this motion certainly from my perspective, isn't an attempt to circumvent the next two phases of consultation which are currently underway, because, of course, predictability and consistency are just as important as the other aspects of good decision-making, and I do get worried when we've made a decision not 2 months ago that we look a little bit inconsistent here. But I have participated in getting this to a position that I can agree to, and I thank the mover for raising some excellent ideas and for incorporating particularly Part 7, which is important, and on that basis I support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there any other speaker to the motion? Councillor Beverley Pinder-Mortimer.
I'd just like to say, Acting Lord Mayor, that I'd like to commend Councillor Mayne on what I believe are a series of visionary thoughts on this in establishing a renewal fund, albeit a small one in the early stage. I think it will help the city's commitment with what will be the biggest capital project in the city's history. So I think it's a win-win.
Thank you. Councillor Foster.
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. Look, I agree that that this motion is what is fast amounting to a very good and strong cornerstone for what is certainly the Council's largest project and arguably its most significant project. I do share some concerns, however, in relation to consultation on a project of this scale. I'll share the thoughts of my colleagues on that. Look, it's good to see, however, in phase one and two of the consultation process so far, we do have consultation with disability advocacy groups, heritage groups, although it is by invitation only, traders, and of course there's a walk-up hub and website feedback available for people to contribute their thoughts on a project of such significance. However, I think we can work closely with officers over coming weeks and months to refine our thoughts in relation to what is appropriate consultation, and hopefully get some more widespread and well-advertised submission processes in place, and have residence groups and perhaps industry bodies such as tourism organisations as well included in that process. Of course, that is this is a statement that should probably have included the words "including but not limited to." So I welcome the thoughts of our residents, our visitors, and our business groups, and of course councillors and council officers to progress an appropriate and adequate consultation process as we move through this important project.
Are there any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Watts.
I'm very pleased to support the motion, but I share the concerns some of my colleagues have already expressed. There is community concern about the way in which this plan, this very big project, is being played out, and we really have to remind the community, as well as ourselves, that we don't know yet quite what's going to happen there. Everything that the media has put out, all of that which has been discussed so far, is interim or draft or ideas. I would be unhappy if our devoting this very important first step, gathering the funds together, is misconstrued as any kind of fixed point that, in the planning that we have reached. This is about the funding. This is not about what should happen. I'm very much an advocate of listening to those who know better than we do what is required very often. So I commend Councillor Mayne for commencing this process, but I am concerned, and will be, no doubt other colleagues too, will be monitoring closely what's going on.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Is there any other speaker? Councillor Rogue.
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. I think my comments neatly follow on from Councillor Watts' comments and concerns, especially around the implication that this might give, that we're, especially at items number three, when it talks about selling off of assets, and that the only reason I can support the inclusion of number three, which isn't on the screen at the moment, is the word "any" sale rather than the sale of these assets, because I couldn't support that, because it does imply that that's actually what we're going to do, or, and it's not necessarily what we're going to do, and that's an important Important point to me, I had a meeting today with a group that are incredibly important to the market, and one that hasn't been mentioned at all tonight and isn't actually mentioned in any of our materials. It's loosely mentioned in a one word, but the customers, and they're not visitors. There are people that have been buying their weekly produce, weekly shopping at the market every week for 20, 30, 40 years. And they've followed on family tradition for doing so, and we don't talk about the customers, and they actually have a very strong voice, and they're gathering, and they've got many Facebooks and websites, you know, all about saving their Queen Victoria market, and they are concerned that it does seem that this process is already completed, that the plans that have been put out in the media and talked about in the media are the final plans, and so my concern about this resolution coming up tonight was about continuing that that impression that people have, and it's important to me that we do have a genuine consultation process, that we do listen to all voices, that the customers that have stuck by this market for many, many years are genuinely listened to, and that we, when we say that we're consulting, we genuinely are.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speaker to the motion? Any speaker against the motion? I will now put that motion to the... Beg your pardon, the right of reply.
Thanks, Acting Lord Mayor. Look, just briefly in response, this motion in no way seeks to endorse any plans. And I think that we are able to consult without having a firm plan and simultaneously prepare the financing. As Chair of Finance, I was very nervous about going into the second budget of this council and not having a meaningful statement in the second budget about how we're going to fund QVM. And I think that people would rightly say, so you've announced a $250 million project. What can you point me to in your budget that shows you're actually getting ready for this? And I think that this motion, I guess to a degree, partially preempts the budget and actually initiates some financing mechanisms and explorations. And I think that in terms of the consultation, probably the most important thing that we have finally done, and it did take a long time to get to this point, is we've released some concept plans, some drawings that people can respond to. And that only happened a couple of weeks ago. And I think now we have an excellent basis on which to have a discussion, and there will be many changes. But I'm not really aware that there's a plan here or an option to do nothing, to leave the QVM entirely as it is. My sense is that everyone can see that it's a long overdue renewal, and that we are proposing to spend tens of millions of dollars preserving the heritage and keeping the QVM forever, as our material quite openly says in very large print. And if we want to spend tens of millions of dollars preserving QVM forever, we need to be credible in showing that it's not just a big plan, we actually have some financing to do it, because there's many politicians everywhere who announce great dreams but then fall over and don't deliver because they haven't actually planned and prepared and put money aside to deliver on their grand aspirations. And when you talk about $250 million and you talk about the biggest project in the City of Melbourne's history, I feel we need to put some real financial grunt behind that. And this is a very small step, because I think it'll quickly become apparent that there's a dwarfing gap between the amount of money in our fund and the real cost of the project. And that's when the real discussion will begin, where politicians, the hardest thing we have to do is allocating scarce capital to competing desires or competing aspirations. And this will be our biggest call on scarce capital, and other projects will be competing, and we will have to make those decisions. And I think starting off with a fund does show that we're serious about following through, and it's not going to be what's happened many times before, where councillors in this chamber have talked about their plans and then nothing has happened.
I would now like to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That has been carried unanimously. That concludes the items of general business to be considered in the open session. Urgent business, are there any items of proposed urgent business? The closure of the open meeting. I wish to thank the members of the public. I call on the council to move the motion displayed on the board, on the screen. Councillor Wood and Councillor Ong. I now put that motion to the vote, and that has been carried unanimously. And I wish to thank the members of the public for their interest and attendance, and declare the open meeting closed to the public at 6:30.